We now go out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to get a man ready for basketball. We got a couple of basketball questions for him. We want to get him ready. We know he's heading that direction anyway, so we're going to get him in that mindset. And he, of course, is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, you ready for basketball?
Always ready for basketball, Dan. How are you, bud?
I'm really well, brother. How have you been?
Doing okay, thank you.
Good to hear. Good to hear. All right, so let's start with the finals, and then we'll morph into Cavs.
Okay.
What is your lasting legacy of the finals?
Well, that's a tough question, 2 days out. But I think, you know, a lot of us, I think, are going to remember those final two games and those two dramatic injuries that we saw to two of the 10 best players in the league. That was impossible to shake. And I heard you talking before, and impossible not to think that that's going to have an effect on this league going forward. You know, in many ways, you know, you talked about load management. I think teams are going to think very differently now, maybe about how they work their star players during the year. You know, there's so much to dig into with just those injuries. So I think, you know, at first glance, just thinking back, you know, I think history will show that this could be a game-changing, if you will, championship for a Toronto team that really has a global feel to it, right? I mean, they have players from all around the world. Their general manager was born in England and raised in Nigeria. They are a global team and a global champion in a global game. And so I think maybe down the road, Dan, we look at that as maybe the defining moment and the legacy of the series. But I think right now it's really hard for me to get past those injuries to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson.
You know, I hadn't thought of that. That's a really good point, Tom, that this really might be the proof. And I wondered, you know, initially if it was maybe Dirk Nowitzki in the Dallas Mavericks with the, you know, him being off the German national team and all that stuff. But this maybe might be it, that this is the finals that brings home the fact that this has become a global game. And that
I'm sorry to interrupt. You know,
you're
especially
good, brother.
In an international cosmopolitan city like Toronto, where you have people from all over the world. I mean, it is literally an immigrant city, you know, much like New York in some ways. But, you know, and that country has been salivating for a championship. I think it had been since 1992 when Toronto won that the last time Canada had a championship to call its own. So, I think from that standpoint, that's good for the game. You know, I can understand your point before about how losing stars of the magnitude of Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson is bad for the game in some ways. And I would agree with that. You know, Kevin has had a long run here. He's starting to get up there in age. I think people forget about that a little bit. How much, you know, we all almost think about him almost exclusively with the Warriors anymore. He put some years in down there in Oklahoma City. So, you know, that's bad. But I think overall, I think the basketball was at a very high quality level. I think we saw in a Toronto team that there's a different way to skin the cat. There's a different way to win a championship now. You know, they don't have the superstar player. Yeah, is Kawhi Leonard in that conversation now? Absolutely. Did you view him that a couple of years ago? Not everybody did. I think those inside basketball looked at him and said, oh, my God, what kind of talent? Could you imagine this guy leading a team? And he did so. So I think that's good for the game. You looked at the role players. You looked at the moves they made during the year. Their acquisition of Marc Gasol midway through this year was a brilliant move, bringing in a quality guy at a needed position. The way they developed Siakam over the last couple of years, the way they used Van Fleet, how Kyle Lowry was willing to accept a different role. You know, a guy that played on the Olympic team 3 years ago. He's a hell of a player. And what they got out of him, the job Nick Nurse did in his first year. So, you know, maybe I'm walking back what I said before. Maybe I am going to remember this Toronto team as we go down the road. But again, for right now, really hard to get past those two moments that we saw of Kevin Durant crumpling to the ground up and on the floor in Canada. And then Klay Thompson, you know, not only walking off, but then walking back on, and you're thinking, oh my God, how are they going to let him play again after all this team has been through?
I mean, we could get super into weeds because I know you're a youth coach and so am I, that like, I mean, the dude pulled out a box and won. Like, I pulled out a box and won in a tournament game. Like, and I coached seventh grade basketball. Like,
no, they tried everything, didn't they? And you saw a little bit of zone. You saw some box and one. You saw them, you know, running at Steph the second that he came off just to get the ball out of his hands. I thought he really did a great job of coaching, and I think in some ways he outmaneuvered Steve Kerr, who was in a bad spot. Because, listen, and hey, those of us in Cleveland experienced it in 2015. When you take two of your best players off the floor, man, you are in a gunfight with a knife, and it was tough on the Warriors. But I think also many people, I'm not going to say I'm necessarily one of them, because I've always had the utmost respect for the Warriors, excuse me, and Steve Kerr and Mike Brown and other people in that organization. But my God, did they show championship grit during this? I mean, they were outmanned for the first time in a long time, and looked at the fight that they put up. You know, the fact that they were able to win Game 5 up there in Toronto, the fact that they took this game down to the wire in their final game at Oracle. You know, listen, I think as a whole, dynasties are good for sports, because it creates this, you know, this villain, if you will, this team, this indomitable team that people want to see brought down. And for the first time now, we look at the Warriors through a very different view. This is a team that's now going to have to rebuild and readjust, and we'll see what goes on going forward.
He is our buddy Tom Withers from the Associated Press. All right, we should get into the Cavs a little bit before we get too nerdy. So you're looking at the draft right around the corner. The draft is, I mean, next week.
Right.
Who do you think the Cavs are looking at 5? Who's somebody who's standing out to you?
Well, there's a couple of guys, and I think at the top of the list has to be Jarrett Culver, who, from what I understand, came in and had a really nice workout here. He's the, if people aren't familiar with it, he's the shooting, I won't call him a shooting guard, he's more of a swing forward type guy from Texas Tech, who played played that team right up to the championship game and had a wonderful year and can do a lot of things. And I think he falls into that range of players. I think everybody is conceded that the top three are written down in permanent ink here, with, you know, which makes this draft a little bit unusual. I mean, there's a clear number one, and he's going to go to New Orleans, and then we'll go from there. I think the thing that could affect the Cavs more than anything else, Dan, going forward here, is whether or not the Pelicans and the Lakers are able to make this move here over the next few days. You know, the Lakers are sitting at number four, and so if they move out of there and all of a sudden New Orleans has a couple more picks up top, you know, things change dramatically. If New Orleans is picking at 1 and 4, maybe they're looking very differently, you know, at 4. So I think Culver falls into that range. I think Cam Reddish, obviously, from Duke, is another guy who falls in that anywhere from 4 to 8 range. You know, he's a nice player. I think, you know, with all the hype that there's been about Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett, he's been kind of lost in the shuffle. And I don't think people realize that Reddish was the first guy to sign at Duke. And so we really never got a chance to evaluate him because he was always kind of playing in the shadows of his teammates. But, you know, a terrific player. There's another guy DeAndre Hunter is another guy that's obviously in this range. You know, the kid from Virginia who outplayed Culver in the championship game, by the way. It comes from a great system. They love his size. I know the Cavs watched him real intensely last year in the NCAA tournament, and they came away very impressed with what they saw. You know, they knew that if they didn't get the number one pick or weren't picking 2 or 3, that could be the kind of player that they look at. So I think he falls in there. And then I'll throw a couple more names out at you. And both of them are from Gonzaga, actually. I like Brandon Clark, a kid from out there, another forward. And then Ruri Hachimura, who's a player who I've seen anywhere from about 7 to 22. So I think the league is still trying to figure out what they've got in them. So, you know, the Cavs have some interesting options. I think, you know, they showed last year that they knew what they were doing, and getting Colin Sexton, who came on and had a brilliant rookie year under some very tough circumstances. So, you know, it's pretty wide open. But I think, you know, there's need. I don't think you can say that there's not need at every spot on the floor. The Cavs need depth. They need to start thinking about what kind of team they want to build going forward.
It's going to be that kind of draft, and it's going to be figuring
it
out
really
from there.
Is,
so
yeah.
I gotta ask this one too, because there's the guy that continues to come up as like the ultimate, you know, boom or bust pick. And I heard they were at the workout. What do you think of Bol Bol? Would you even if, like, let's say the Cavs traded back, would you take Bol Bol, or is he off your board, Tom?
He'd be off my board. I just think he's, you know, listen, is the length intriguing? Yeah. Did you see some things? I haven't, I'll be honest with you, Dan, I have not seen him play enough to really be sold one way or another.
Dude, nobody has. I mean, he played like 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, he's clearly a project. You know, listen, I'll put my trust in them. I'll put my trust in John Beilein as well. I mean, yeah, granted, he's not coached a game as a pro coach. However, his track record at Michigan is impeccable in the way he has taken players who weren't necessarily, you know, 3-, 4-, or 5-star high school players and turned them into, you know, legitimate pros while at Michigan. This guy knows what he's doing, and I've heard such great things about what he's done in his short time with the Cavaliers. I talked to some people last week who have been around him quite a bit, and they've just been blown away by, you know, first of all, how committed he is. Not that every coach isn't committed, but if this guy's at a level where he just lives and breathes basketball and just how personable he is and how relationship driven he is. So, and he's got an eye for talent, and that's what this draft is all about. So yeah, that's an intriguing player, Dan, but you know what? If I were the Cavs, I would pass.
I think there's
plenty of better quality out there, proven quality that you want to get your hands on now.
I'm in the same boat, and I'm with you there. I just, man, he's got 5 games under his belt, and I know we're all intrigued with this, but like,
is that all it is? It's just 5?
I think it is. Something along. I know it's single digits for sure, but if anything, I would be tempted if he falls at 26. I don't think he'll be there. But I'd be really tempted then.
Yeah, I mean, there's some nice players who could still be on the board at 26. I'm going to throw another guy's name out at you back down at 26. Another Virginia kid that Ty Jerome, the shooting guard, really impressed me during the tournament. I just like the way he played. I thought he did everything well, and I think those are the kind of players you have to start looking at now if you're NBA executives in the front offices, is that what can this guy bring at both ends? And I know that's always been, you know, the talk of the league or whatever, but I think even more so now, and this guy can shoot it as well. And I think you can never have enough shooters in this league. I mean, and hey, let's not forget, too, that 3-point line is going to start creeping back. So the more guys you can have that can knock it down from out there, you know, fine. And I'm a big believer in getting guys from good programs, getting guys who have also played on the big stage already. And when you look at a Virginia team that was able to win the title last year, and this guy had a huge hand in every win that they had, I just think that's a name to keep an eye on down at 26. Ty Jerome from Virginia.
Ty Jerome. All right, writing that down. Bol Bol played 9 games.
9. That's good to go.
Yeah, exactly. That's all the tape we need. All right. Indians make a move coming up soon within the next 2 weeks? Or is this just kind of, is this the ball club you're looking at?
It's gotten trickier, Dan, over the last week or so, because they've played well. Let's be honest. They've played well. I mean, for them to do what they did during that homestand, listen, there was a clunker at the end of there with, you know, losing to the Reds and giving up 4 home runs the other day. But the fact that they won 2 out of 3 against Minnesota and 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, when they're missing 3 full-time starters and in Jose Ramirez, a player who can't seem to get himself straightened out, and manufacturing runs and finding ways to win and still above 500, and with a favorable schedule coming up over the next few weeks. And then when you get into July, you know, I was looking at that window. Once they get back from the All-Star game, they play, I believe, 10 or 11 at home against teams that they should beat. So I think, you know, if you are Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, and you have a team that is suddenly, let's say, 5, 6, 7 games over 500 heading into the trading deadline, you owe it to your fans to make a move. And I think they would be able to convince Paul Dolan to do something. Now, listen, they've got to have an eye on the future. And by that, I mean you've got in Brad Hand, who has been arguably the best closing pitcher in the American League this year, you've got a player who's contract controllable for 2.5 more years, who could fetch this team some, not only, you know, a starting position player, but ultimately some prospects as well. And then obviously, you know, you've got Trevor Bauer, who, you know, with all his baggage and who has pitched, you know, really well at times, but has really struggled in kind of this opportunity for him to be an ace over the last month or so. Another player who could bring something back in return. And then obviously, you know, the elephant in the room is the Francisco Lindor situation. You know, the Indians have to start thinking about, okay, we're probably not going to be able to sign this guy. So what are we going to get in return? Are we going to let him walk away for nothing? We can't afford to do that anymore. So I do think they'll make moves. I think, Dan, though, that it's still too early to say how dramatic those moves could be. I do think if they would go on a losing streak and suddenly this season is a wash, then I think you could see some major, major moves.
All right, I need an album. What have you been digging on lately?
I tell you what, I think the last time you and I talked, I was was listening to Eraserland by Strand of Oaks, and that's been a hard one for me to get away from. I've never been a huge Vampire Weekend fan, but I tell you what, they put out a new album. I think it's their first one in 4 or 5 years, called Father of the Bride, that is very good. Not necessarily my favorite taste, but you know, they've got some really nice songs with a lot of depth to the lyrics and really good stuff. So I've really been pleasantly surprised by that.
He is Tom Withers. Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate the time. This was great stuff. Enjoy Shoot Around.
Anytime. See you soon, man.
Talk to you, man.